God has given to each of us the power of choice. In Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 15, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a choice. And that's a choice that you have today. Today, you can choose God or not choose God. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 21, the Bible says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord be God, worship him. If Baal be God, then worship him." That is a choice. You can today commit to Jehovah, or you can commit to something or to someone else. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will love one and hate the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other, but you cannot serve both God and money." Brethren, that's a choice. We either bow down to the God of heaven, or we bow down to the God of money and materialism. God has created all of us with the power of choice. Now understand what that power means. All of our lives and our eternities will come down to the choices that we make. I don't know if we believe that, but we need to. All of life and all of eternity comes down to the choices that we make. Now, in front of you, there are four chairs. These four chairs represent something. Every one of us is seated in one of these four chairs in the eyes of God. I mean, every one of us, from the smallest and the most infant among us to the oldest among us, in the eyes of God, we are seated in one of these four chairs. You are in one of these. I am in one of these chairs. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to listen carefully to the lesson. And when this sermon is over, I'm going to pose just one question to you. Which of these chairs am I sitting in? Which of these chairs am I sitting in? Number one, we're going to start on this end. Number one, the first chair is what I'm going to call the safe chair. This is a safe chair. This is the chair that represents people who are not accountable for their souls. Now, they're not saved, but they are safe. They're not accountable for their actions. They're not accountable for their sins. They're not accountable for their souls. Now, you say, well, who would be in this chair? Well, this chair would represent the chair that babies would be in. Babies. Now, I'm aware that there are people who believe that babies are born in sin. In fact, they believe that a baby is born, and when it is born, it is totally depraved. A rank sinner born in sin. But let me hasten to say that Jesus disagrees with that. In Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 14, Jesus says, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder the children to come to me," because he says, "Such are the kingdom of God." In Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 3, Jesus said that unless you turn and become as little children, you will not inherit and be a part of the kingdom of God. This is the safe chair. You see, babies are not subject to the gospel. Let me say that again. Babies are not subject to the gospel. You say, well, do you have a reason to say that? No, I have 5 reasons to say that. Number 1, babies are not subject to the gospel because babies cannot be taught. Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and in verse 18, Jesus said, "Go and teach all nations." It is not possible to teach a baby. Number 2, babies are not subject to the gospel because babies cannot believe. Jesus said in Mark 16 and in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Listen, a baby is incapable of believing. Number 3, a baby isn't subject to the gospel because a baby cannot repent, nor does it have anything to repent of. Luke chapter 13 and in verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Listen, a baby doesn't have even a single idea about the concept of repentance or what it is. Number 4, a baby is not subject to the gospel because a baby cannot confess. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, that unless you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, and if you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you to my Father. Listen, a baby can't confess anything, it can't speak. Number 5, a baby is not subject to the gospel because a baby is not subject to baptism. Listen, baptism, according to the Bible, is an act of faith. A baby is clueless concerning faith and what's involved in faith. Now, you can take a baby and pour water on it, but you can't biblically baptize a baby. You can't. Now, this is the safe chair. This is a chair that babies would be in. They are not accountable. Now, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. I want you to look at this verse. When you look at it, you will take note of it. And I want you to remember what this verse says. In Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15, the prophet says this. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created, that is born, until unrighteousness was found in you. Now listen, there comes a time when we leave this chair of that's safe. That is to say, there comes a time when we leave our state of innocence. And when we begin to know what is right from what is wrong. But we are not born that way. In Genesis chapter 4 and in verse 1, the Bible says that Eve conceived and she had a son. The son's name was Cain. And Eve declared, "We have received a son from the Lord." Think about that. If a child is born evil, and the child has come from God, that would make God the source of the evil, and anybody who knows anything knows better than that. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, the child that was born to David and Bathsheba died as an infant. When that child died as an infant, David, the father of the child, said in verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, David said, "The child cannot come to me, so I will go to the child." If the child was in a state of depravity, why would David want to go to the child? Brethren, listen to me. Every single one of us is in one of those four chairs in the eyes of God. Number two. There is the safe chair. And then there is the sinner's chair. Now listen to me. Everybody in this chair used to be in that chair. This is the sinner's chair. This chair represents those who are not Christians. This chair represents those who have not obeyed the gospel. Let me tell you who's in this chair. The one sitting in the sinner's chair is the good moral person who has not obeyed the gospel. Let me tell you who's in this chair. Who is in this chair is the procrastinator. The one who knows that they should become a Christian, one who may even have plans to become a Christian, but they're still in this chair. This is the sinner's chair. This represents the ones who have not obeyed the gospel. Now, let me tell you something about this. All of us are under the condemnation of sin. All of us. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are under the condemnation of sin. Now that brings forth this question, and that is, well, what is sin? What is sin? There are at least four definitions of sin that are given to us in the Bible. Number one, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says that whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, because sin is a transgression of the law. That verse says two things that are very important. The verse says, whosoever commits sin. Are you listening? Sin is something we commit. It's not something we inherit. The second thing it tells you is that sin is a transgression of the law. That is, the definition of sin in that verse is that sin is a deliberate act of breaking the law of God. When God says you cannot do that and you do that, you have deliberately transgressed or violated the law of God, and that deliberate act, that is sin, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Well, what is sin? Number two, James chapter 4 and verse 17. To him, therefore, who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So what is sin? Sin is a failure to do the good you know you should be doing. Now hear this carefully. It is just as sinful not to do what you ought to do as it is to do what you ought not to do. What is sin? Sin is the doing of wrong. What is sin? Sin is a failure to do what is right. What is sin? Number three, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. So what is sin? Unrighteousness is sin. What is unrighteousness? It's the doing of what is wrong. What is the verse teaching? Here's what the verse is teaching. All sin is wrong. All of it. All sin displeases God. All unrighteousness is sin. Well, what is sin? Number four, the fourth definition. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, what does that mean? Let me explain what that verse means. Whatsoever is not of faith, that's talking about the person's individual faith. A person's individual conviction, what they believe. What he's talking about here is that sin is a violation of your conscience. If you violate your conscience, that is a sin. Understand, Paul is not teaching there that your conscience is a safe guide. The only final authority we have is the Word of God. But the conscience is a safe guide as long as the conscience has been safely guided. And as a Christian, if our conscience is being guided by the Word of God, and you believe in your own faith, in your own conviction, that this is something I should not do, or this is something as a Christian that I should not participate, even though it may not be black or white, right or wrong, if your conscience, guided by the Word, is saying, I shouldn't do that, if you do that to you, that is a sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, brethren, listen to me. Here's where we're going with this. Sin is the doing of wrong. Sin is the failure of doing it right. Sin is all unrighteousness. And sin is a violation of your conscience. You say, now what is the big deal about sin? The big deal about sin is that it is sin that causes us to lose our souls. The big deal about sin, it's sin that separates us from God. Now listen to me. Are you sitting in the sinner's chair? Are you sitting in the sinner's chair? Let me tell you something about some people who are in this chair. There are people who are sitting in this chair who are giving thought to getting out of this chair. There are people who are sitting in this chair who have planned someday to get up out of this chair. Let me tell you something about this chair. This is the sinner's chair. This is where those who are not Christians are seated. This is sin's chair. Let me tell you about something about sin. Sin is deceptive. What sin tells you is a lie. Sin promises, but it doesn't deliver. If you're in this chair, sin will tell you, I'm going to take you to the top, but it'll leave you at the bottom. This chair will tell you, I'm going to show you happiness, but you're going to be sad. This chair will promise you heaven, but it'll take you to hell. And I don't care what thoughts you have of getting out of this chair. I don't care what kind of plans you have to get out of this chair. If you're still in this chair, when you walk out these doors in the eyes of God, you're lost. We're all in one of these. We're all in one of these. There is the safe chair. In this chair, we weren't saved, but we were safe. We're not accountable. Are you listening? But if you heard me explain this chair, and if you understood this chair, you not in this chair. Then there is a sinner's chair. Now everybody in this chair used to be in this chair. But then we came out of that innocence, we got over in the sinner's chair. We did what my brethren have always called reach the age of accountability. People say, preacher, can you explain the age of accountability? No, sir, and no, ma'am. I'm not smart enough to have figured that out yet. Because everybody doesn't mature at the same rate. Now, some of the brethren think the golden age is 12. I had a brother told me once it's 12 because Jesus was baptized when he was 12. He was stunned when I told him Jesus was baptized when he was 30. When Jesus was 12, they took him to Jerusalem. I said, you shouldn't be looking for a baptistry. You should be looking for a plane ticket to the Holy Land. The safe chair. The sinner's chair. Number three. This is the saved chair. The saved chair. Are you listening? Everybody who's sitting in this chair used to sit in this chair. Yes. You got it, sis? Amen. Everybody who sits in this chair, you sit in that chair. People who are in this chair, the saved chair, they used to sit in this chair. And they sit in this chair and they said, look, I can't take this chair anymore. I got to get out of this chair. So they heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how that through and by the love of God, the sacrifice for our sin was made, and we can obey the gospel through faith, repentance, and baptism, and we can get in this chair. This is the saved chair. Now, I want to go through something slowly and carefully here. I hear people say this, and they say it more now than I've ever heard it before. People will say, I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. They say yes to Jesus and no to the church. Now, let me say, just from a biblical point of view, just a biblical perspective, the statement, I want Jesus, but not the church, doesn't make sense. Now listen, I'm going to do it slow. The church is the institution that the Lord Himself places us in when we are saved. Let me say that again. The church is the institution that the Lord Himself puts us in when we are saved. Acts 2:47, the Lord adds to the church every day everybody who is saved. You got that? Now, turn, we're going to do this slow. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want us to look at verse 3. The church is the institution that the Lord puts us in when we are saved. Now listen to me while you're finding that. What that means is that to be in Jesus is to be in the church. Oh, you looking at me like you not getting it or just don't understand it. When I am baptized, the Lord places me in the church. So when I come to Jesus, I am immediately placed in the church. Well, what does that mean? That means that to be in Jesus is to be in the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Now look at this again, because I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to answer it. Or I'm coming back there after you. Look at it. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Now here's the question. How many spiritual blessings are in Christ? Every. Well, then let me ask another question. If every spiritual blessing is in Christ, then how many spiritual blessings are out of Christ? Right? None. If every spiritual blessing is in Christ, then none of them are out of Christ. Now here's the question. How do we go about getting into Christ where every spiritual blessing is? Now, turn back 3 pages from Ephesians 1, and you'll be in Galatians chapter 3, and look at verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It is the act of baptism that puts one into Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ. Now look at me and you will understand this. When you were baptized, you were baptized into Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, you became the recipient of every spiritual blessing. When you were baptized into Christ and became the recipient of every spiritual blessing, the Lord added you to the Lord's church, his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Listen to me, are you sitting in the saved chair? Are you sitting in the saved chair? If you're in this chair, you are in Christ. If you are in this chair, you are receiving every spiritual blessing. If you are in this chair, the Lord has added you to the church. If you are in this chair, you are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. But if you have not been baptized, you're not in that chair. You're not in that chair. Now, there's only one more place we can be. the fourth chair, this chair, is the straying chair. This is the backslider's chair. But I wanted them all to start with an S. Because they help you to remember. And it does sure help my old brain to remember. This is the straying chair. This is the backslider's chair. Everybody in this chair used to be in that chair. But there are folk who were in this chair, the saved chair, and they moved out of this chair and came into this chair. And that prompts the question, why would anybody move out of this chair? Why would anybody move out of this chair? Well, some people moved out of this chair because they love the world more than they love the Lord. That's what happened to Demas. Demas was a fellow worker of Paul. And at the end of Paul's life, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 10 and 11, he says, Demas has deserted me, having loved this present world. Demas left the saved chair and got in the straying chair because Demas loved the world more than he loved the Lord. Similar thing happened to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus had it going on doctrinally, but they were dead as a doornail spiritually. And Jesus wrote to them and said in Revelation 2, 4, this is what I have against you. You have lost your first love. Well, what does that mean? That means they didn't love him then like they used to love him. So they got out of this chair and they got over into this chair. Now I'm going to say this. And don't get mad. Don't get mad. Because it won't do any good. Some people get out of this chair and get in this chair because they have a, because just like Ananias in Acts 5 and just like Judas Iscariot, they have allowed Satan to fill their heart. They have allowed Satan to fill their heart. And I'm going to tell you this. A lot of folk have allowed Satan take total control over them through the pandemic. Well, I don't think you ought to say that. Then don't ever let me hear of you saying it anywhere. That's the truth. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the seed that was sown among the thorns. And the disciples ask him, what does that parable mean? What are you talking about? And you know what he said in explaining the seed that went into the thorns? He said, those were people who heard the word, they received it. That is, they got up out of the sinner's chair, they got over in the saved chair, and then Jesus said that they allowed the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they just allowed their lives, their daily lives, to just become overwhelmed with the daily routine of life. Listen, if the devil can put fear in you and take you away from God, that's what he's going to do. And if the devil can put anxiety in you and get you away from God, that's what he's going to do. Now here's the question. How do you know you've left the safe chair and got in the straying chair? How do you know that you're in this chair? Here's how you know. Has there ever been a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are now? To that degree, you've strayed. You strayed. Now, I want you to hear this carefully, and we're heading to the finish line. But I want you to hear this. This chair, don't let my strength amaze you. This chair is the most dangerous chair of all of them. This is the most dangerous chair of all. You say, well, how can you say that? Why, this chair over here, this is a sinner's chair. This is the chair of one who's never obeyed the gospel. Yeah, it is. And I'm telling you, this chair is worse than that one. Because those in this chair at one point were going to heaven, and now they're not. The folk in this chair, at one time they were going to glory. Listen, you don't get nothing else, you get this. This chair, the straying chair, this represents the worst possible situation. Do you know that the Apostle Peter actually describes that chair? At the end of 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, you know what Peter said? Peter said the latter is worse than the beginning. Right? This is worse than this. Because this knows better. Peter said, it would be better to have never known the way than to know it and walk away from it. Now, everybody is in one of these four chairs. This is a safe chair. So you know what I'm talking about, you're not in it. This is the sinner's chair. You've never obeyed the gospel. And you're going to stand and look God in the face someday, and he's going to ask you why, and you got no answer for that. Well, I didn't know. Yeah, you did. And yeah, you do. Then there is the saved chair. These are the people who are Christians. These are the people who are faithful to God. These are the people to whom God is first and important to. And then there is the straying chair. So here's the one question that I pose. Which chair are you sitting in? Which chair are you sitting in? Because where you sit today can determine where you're going to sit through eternity. Come right now as we stand and as we sing.